Welcome to the podcast. My name is Jamie Knight, and I am a realtor with Real Broker right here in Cajun Country, Lafayette, Louisiana. The goal of this podcast is to add massive value by bringing insider access to our area's top agents and from agents around the South. My hope is that you take a few things away from their experiences to grow your own business. Y'all, we've got some local flair on the podcast today. I've got Russ Vegas from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Russ, how are you doing, my brother?
I'm doing good, my man. It's Friday.
That's it, dude. And we're hanging out, laying down a podcast, man, talking shop. So, man, start off with your backstory of where and how you got into the business. Also, give us a little bit about some of the areas that you serve here in the South. And then let's get into some really good stuff that agents are going to grab some value from.
Yeah. So, originally from Cutoff, Louisiana.
Okay.
Born and raised, then came to Baton Rouge in 2009 to go to college. And to kind of trickle into how I got into real estate, years down the road, 2014, I was on the way to make a grocery bill. And I got a random phone call from my good friend's girlfriend at the time that was in real estate. I was like, hey, you know, we're looking to hire, and I think you'd be good at the business. I'm like, school's for fools. Let's do this. You know, it's not really working out for me. So 5 times later, passed my test.
Right. And
became an agent for a local team with Keller Williams, and really started at the bottom of the barrel, just showing property, learning the ropes at every angle, you know, just kind of being a sponge to the business since I didn't really know much of it. Never really had a desk job before, you know. Going on 11 years later, you know, became the lead agent on that team a couple years after starting, and now still in the business, rocking and rolling.
That's it, man. Absolutely, bro. Yeah. I love that story. So coming straight from Cutoff, Louisiana, down super south,
yeah,
man. Is there even anything further south than Cutoff, Louisiana?
Believe it or not, there is. it's not where it cuts off at, right?
So yeah,
it's actually, if you've been to Grand Isle, it's about 35 minutes before you get to Grand Isle.
Gotcha. Well, tell us a little bit about how you're generating your business. What does that look like for you right now, man? How are you generating your opportunities for yourself?
Yeah. So, I mean, as you know, Jamie, how I like to look is you have 3 pillars that you should focus on when getting business. And transparency here, I'm really good at 2 of them, still working on that 3rd, but it's sphere of influence, past clients, friends, family,
throughout
these first internet leads. I still rock and roll with internet leads.
Nice.
And that's it too. So I'm still trying to figure out that 3rd big pillar. That's the really 2 big nuggets, I would say.
Yeah. And tell us a little bit about the internet leads. Like, what are you doing for those opportunities? What's working for you right now with those internet leads?
Well, internet leads, it's speed to lead. So you got to react fast. With the success with internet leads is they don't know who you are, right? So I think from the jump, you have to bring instant value, right? And just make them understand that, look, you're here to help them out. It's not just a sale. I think if you go in with that salesy feel, salesy tactic, it just backfires and you get ghosted. Instant value, relatability, and just letting them know you're here for them is, I think, a big piece of that.
What platforms are you having some success with on those leads right now?
So ClickMeLeads. So we use Brivity as our CRM. So Google, things like that, and then also Zillow.
So yeah, you're converting them fast. You're trying to get them into the house quick. I mean, how does that look like as far as like getting them into the property as quickly as you can? Because I know that's probably super important.
It is. And my mindset from the beginning is you always have to evolve with the market. You know, it was like before, if you're not pre-approved, I'm not showing you a house. And that just doesn't work, unfortunately, with these internet leads. And what clicked for me, Jamie, was if you're buying a car and if they say, hey, look, I need to see a pre-approval before you test drive that car, you're probably going to go to a different dealership. And that mindset made me understand that that makes a lot of sense. So yeah, we're going to see the property initially that they inquire about. And again, give tons of value and then try to slow them down a little bit and really dive in to what their needs really are. Because more than likely, that first house isn't the one that's going to be the one that they move forward on.
So I guess dive a little bit into your past clients. I know you had said you do quite a bit of past client business. So what does that look like for you? How are you keeping in touch with these people? Is there a plan to reach these people in the long term? And if so, what is that plan?
Yeah. So, I mean, coming from Keller Williams, a 33 touch, 36 touch, I think it might be even to like a 39 touch now. I don't go that far into that many touches a year. Not saying it's not right, not wrong, it's just not my style. So I'm touching them 4 to 6 to 8 times a year. That's phone call, text message, mailers, Christmas gift cards, birthdays, and things like that. I just want to make sure when I'm reaching out, I'm giving some type of quote-unquote value, not just reaching out just to say, hey, I reached out, you right. know?
I'm sorry. What does that look like? Yeah, like, so what does that look like for you when you're actually like making that proactive reach out? Like, what is the value there for them?
It's just letting them know that I remember them. In simple terms, you know, letting them know, hey, look, I remember your birthday. Let them know, hey, look, it's Merry Christmas. I'm giving you a personalized card, football magnets, like all these simple and small things that allow you to still kind of be that top of mind mindset, you know, because that's what it is. I mean, you have to stay top of mind for them to think of you when they think of real estate. You know, now, like I was telling you earlier, I have like a little running joke. I always tell my clients at close, and it's like, hey, look, you stuck with me. You know, like I'm here to just be that resource. You know, when you think of roofers, if you need a roofer, you need someone to cut your grass, you need an electrician, plumber, like call me. You know, I'm not just here for that sale that we just completed.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. So let's talk a little bit about your success schedule. Because when we went to schedule the podcast, we were chatting about a time that might work on a particular day. And you were like, man, can't do it from 9 to 11. Let's talk about success schedules. So agents right now are making plans for 2026. They're deciding how they want to lay out their business, what may change. They're setting these goals and their different things with their business. But let's talk about success schedules and what's important to you and how you set your day up. And I believe that that's why a lot of top agents are successful is because they just do the same thing, the boring, the monotonous things over and over again in their schedule. So talk to us a little bit about agent schedules so that we can get some tangible value as far as what your thoughts are on that.
For sure. Yeah. To kind of piggyback off of, you know, the scheduling of this podcast is, you know, you wanted to, I want to say 10:30 might've been the time. I was like, well, shoot, that's between my 9 to 11 lead generation and lead follow-up time. So I try to stay diligent on that. That is like the non-negotiable items for me is how you bring in businesses, lead generation, in addition to lead follow-up. So, you know, I get to the office, I try to give myself an hour, hour and a half before, you know, 9 o'clock hits to kind of take care of that busy work, so to speak, that I can't leverage out. And 9 to 11, too, I try to do 2 to 3 hours a day of just phone calls, checking in, catching up. Try not to get confused with what lead generation and lead follow-up actually is, because it can get a little murky on that. And then, and look, again, some days it's not perfect. In real estate, you get a call, you get this or you get that, and you got to maneuver your schedule around. So when that does happen, Jamie, I'll go, if you erase, you must replace. You know, if I have a 10 o'clock or a 9 o'clock appointment, you know, I can't just be like, I'm not going to lead in today. You know, it's again, it's a non-negotiable. In this business.
Yeah. So you'll add that time. If you're saying you want to make 2 hours of phone calls, you'll add that time to a little later in the day is what you're saying. Yeah.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah. So how does that look like, man? So when you're laying out your 9 to 11, like what does that actually look like, man? Do you have a list that you're working off of? Is that something that you saw on social media? You know, you saw you intentionally wanted to reach out to them. How does that 9 to 11 look, man? Because that is where the money is made. But talk to us like a little bit about the prep on the front side of that 9 to 11. What does that look like? And then what's the target activities that you're trying to do in that time? And how are you coming up with that list? And how does that look for us? More dig in a little bit more tangibly into that.
For sure. Yeah. So talk about target. Target is appointments, right? That's what we're looking for. We're looking for appointments. But I use a CRM and I have a CRM that reminds me my today's task, right? So I just go and log in 9 to 11, whatever I have to do for today's to-do is what I do. And I also do like overdue today and overdue or past due because, again, Monday hits, you had some calls that come on the weekend. So how that list comes about, Jamie, is I have them set up with campaigns or drips, right? It could be a 8 days of pain, 10-day follow-up, once a month, once a quarter. And after a while, they all kind of mesh together. So I'm just going through that list and I'm just phone call, text, whatever works. And I leave detailed notes with each client or potential client to just know like, hey, look, I tried calling them at 10 o'clock and they said, I'm busy, call in the afternoon. So I'm not going to call them. I'll put a reminder to call them in the afternoon since that worked for them previously. Detailed notes with that list, I think, is extremely important. So you don't keep hitting that same mistake of calling somebody when right. they're obviously busy and they know they're not listening to me. You know, people want to feel that they're being heard. And that little simple task, I feel like, goes a long way too.
If you love the podcast, you'll love our Real South Agents monthly mastermind trainings on Zoom. We invite past guests of our podcast and really dive deep into what they do well. This gives you, the listener, a chance to ask a top producer the questions that you want to know. We advertise those trainings on our social media, so go follow us at Real South Agents for more information about those trainings. Our goal is to provide massive value and help you build your business. So I'm looking forward to being with you in those trainings live on Zoom. So y'all, let's get back to the podcast. And now when it comes to your past clients, how are you incorporating those calls and those reach outs into your day?
Yeah, so I typically do that after my 11 o'clock. That's going to be because I like to give my past clients, I know they're busy, I know their schedule, let them kind of get settled in. And that's people I could just call. Sometimes while I'm driving to an appointment, I'll get a list of people that I know I could just call and just on the way to appointments, back to the office, on the way to whatever it may be, just kind of checking in on them, depending on what task is up for that particular client.
Are you putting them into a CRM? How are you 1,000%. Proactively? Okay, so you've got them set up as well in the same CRM. And is that notifying you, hey, call Ms. Broussard or whatever? How does that look for you?
That's correct. So I have, which each client, I have a source of where it's from. And in my CRM, I can delegate which source I want to pinpoint. So when I go to my overdue today and overdue, you know, or overdue, I'm not doing my past clients for those. You know, once I get that list completed, then I turn into my past clients conversations. I'm a cool ass from down the by, man. I look for simplicity. And that's how I use my CRM. I know some people use it at a crazier high level than me. That just doesn't fit my glove.
Yeah, I actually really like the way that you're using your CRM because you're using it for phone calls, right? You hear people use a CRM and they're hoping that they get some system that magically through some AI tool built into the CRM that it does their job for them and they don't have to make the phone calls. But I feel like what I like about the way you're doing it is you're saying, let me build the CRM, let me make the phone calls, let me take notes from the phone calls, let me make the adjustments in the CRM. And now the next time I call them, it's at the time they want to have the conversation. So I think that's so much better than just looking for a CRM to do our job for us, right? I feel like most agents right now, and maybe I'm making a generalization, but most agents aren't making as much phone calls as they possibly could and finding that success by actually picking up the phone. And look, a lot of the top agents, you can see a similar theme of how they build their business. You know, we had Scott Gaspard on the podcast and Scott's over there in Baton Rouge with y'all. And I talk about Scott's, you know, all the time. I mean, the guy does 100 deals a year by just picking up the phone and contacting his people. You can't find the guy online. He's got no social media, but literally all he does is spend the time in the CRM, making phone calls, having conversations with people who he's done business with in the past. And he gets those referrals, man. He gets tons of referrals every year because he puts in the work throughout
the year. He's personable,
right?
Yeah. And that's what a phone call does. You know, you can send automated texts and things like that. And I'm not going to be the person that say AI is not something you should implement in today's business because that's completely wrong. I just don't think it should implement all your business. It's a portion of how you should utilize technology to leverage. People love to, even a text message. Some people just love text messages over a phone call. You can't catch them on the phone, but you catch them on a text message. Just knowing that it can go back and forth with a conversation to check in goes a long way.
Yeah. And look, the same way that we did business 20 years ago is the same way that's working right now in 2026. I feel like all of these other things that come up with the social media and all these other factors, they almost are just distractions from what you really should be doing, and that's dedicating time to the activities that we know that we need to do as realtors every day in our schedule. So is there anything else in the schedule? Because I don't want agents to miss it. So maybe go more than just your 9 to 11. Is there any other things that you're intentionally putting in your schedule that builds success for you in the long term?
I need to implement more, you know, with content, talking about like technology and things like that, which I do plan to do in 2026. And that could potentially be that third pillar I was referring to get more businesses being more online with digital marketing, which I think is pretty cool. So I do plan on starting to have that throughout the week, having how I can figure out to do more content. If I'm not lead generating, I'm looking for more appointments, you know, listing appointments, showing property and things like that. So it's a pretty simple, basic, quote unquote, boring day, if you want to call it. It's not, how to say, it's not sexy, but at the end of the day, it's like, I'm trying to find business, going to appointments. If I'm not appointments, I'm trying to find more business. Yeah. And then just kind of looking back, I mean, I'm a big fan of failing forward. You know, if I tried something, you know, new, or I keep doing something that I'm not getting that return, that ROI on at a larger percentage, I'm going to change it. I'm going to go listen to the Sky Gaspars and kind of see what they're doing that I'm not doing really good and implement that. One thing I actually got from Scott Gaspard in an event he did this past year was he has a book that he writes down everything he's going to do for the following day. And what I do is I do it on my phone now on the reminders. You know, if I'm in bed, I'm like, my mind's just racing before I can kind of like, let me just put this list together and jump on that. So I have like a to-do list on top of everything else, which kind of just, it's a relief that you know you're starting off with things that truly need to be done and it's completed.
Yeah, I keep a notebook as well. I do the same thing. I have a notebook where I have a to-do list on the right side. I have my contacts on the left side. Just when I'm at my desk, write names and numbers down, which then you can put into a CRM, put into like a weekly email, and then you can serve those people a little bit better. But I agree with you. It's tough when you get home, especially you got kids and a family. You know, you got all these things swirling around. You had a busy day. You had a lot of calls. Yeah. You had a lot of successes. You had a lot of wins. Now, how do we set ourselves up for tomorrow to have those conversations that we know we need to have and put the day to bed at the end of the day by putting down a list of what we need to do for tomorrow?
And surprisingly, like, it relieves so much weight off my chest once I do that. You know, like the stuff in the back of the head of like, you know, because you think of something, you forget a minute later what you were supposed to be doing. Like this list kind of takes that away, which it's so simple. I mean, you obviously just write a list of to do it. Just, I just never did it.
I do the same thing when it comes to video stuff, because I've been on this little journey of making a commitment to, like you, utilize more video in your business, because it just introduces you to new people. They like your vibe. They like your style. They same age, same experiences, maybe come from the same area, whatever. And what I do, same thing, is I just take out my notes section on my phone and I will just maybe even save a video that I liked that saw somebody else do, or I'll just save an idea that I'm like, hey, I need to do a video about that. Because then when you go to do video, you're like, oh my gosh, what the heck would I even do a video about? Because if I was like, hey, Russ, do a video right now, what would you do? Yeah. It'd be like, oh, I don't even know what to say. But So, but now it's like, you've got a list of things that you can do. And then same thing with the list on your computer or your phone or your notebook, you can go back to that list and it sparks so much more ideas flowing. Mm-hmm. It gets the ideas flowing and saying like, dude, I know I need to call this person too. Not only do I need to handle that task, but I also need to reach out to Ms. Broussard as well, because these other things sparked that in my memory. But yeah, so talk to us a little bit about making it small. That was one thing we were chatting about, because you're from a pretty big metro when it comes to Louisiana. And how do you make the city of Baton Rouge smaller in the sense of like being able to like really build deep connections with people?
I'm from a small town, you know, so that's truly all I know is, you know, like kind of that mom and pop type of feel. That's kind of the brand I'm trying to push, you know, is everything's so mainstream, everything is so big fish. And again, I think when you get that kind of feel, it can feel salesy. You know, it's like you're just a number, you're just a number. So I just treat people like, you know, like they are one of us, because they are. Treat them like a friend. Treat them like family. You know, really. Treat people like you want to be treated. As cliche as that sounds, I mean, I'm going to help somebody purchase some that is potentially the largest purchase of their life. The stress level is high. So if I'm in their shoes, how would I want to be approached with someone that should be guiding me? And that's kind of how I do it. I mean, everybody wants to be treated a particular way. Not everybody wants to be like the DISC profile, right? Everybody is a little different. So I listen. You have to be a great listener to know how you should treat that person. That's what I do. I just become a great listener from the jump, so I know how to really serve them to the best of my ability and just make them feel like we're slowing down. In this process, that does move pretty fast sometimes.
It's just kind of the idea that you're slowing down, you're taking a breath, you're making people feel more comfortable. You know, you're really listening to them. You're asking questions. You're really digging deep with them. You're finding out what's important. Because like you said, in a stressful world, people can talk fast or people can speak quickly and not listen. Yeah. And we talk the terms that we talk in the real estate business
like we assume
all the time. And we assume everybody knows what a property disclosure or what earnest money is or what a deposit is or all of these things or a pre-approval letter. We say all these things and we say it as if they are on the same page with us or we're talking to our colleagues. But you're right. We really should slow the process down, really dive deep, ask more questions, let them feel safe to be able to say, ask the question. It's not a stupid question.
So and I always say that specific thing, Jamie, is like, there's no such thing as a dumb question here. Truly, let it out. I rather you tell me what you think may be a dumb question to give you the clarity that you need, because you obviously don't have it if you have that question pondering in your head. Throw it at me. You know, if I don't know it, I'm not going to tell you just something to fill in the blanks. I'm going to tell you I'm not sure, and I'll get that answer for you somehow, some way.
You know, one thing I heard, or I don't even know where I picked it up, but I heard that the general public, when we're working with them, they operate, and it's not a disrespectful thing, but they operate as at around a sixth grade level of understanding of our process, right? And I tell agents and even new agents, right? You've passed your real estate exam, right? You have a little bit better than a sixth grade education when it comes to real estate. So that builds confidence in itself. Mm-hmm. But even understanding that if the public is operating at around a sixth grade level, in what way should we explain ourselves and in what way should we conduct ourselves, knowing that they are not 100% sure on things and we want them to be comfortable with the process? I think that's one thing that I heard that I was like, man, it really changed the perspective that I had in dealing with clients and slowing down the process, making sure they understood things, even in my processes when it comes to my emails that I send out when the property goes under contract. You know, we're also including videos in the whole process of things of when it goes under contract, our email instructions for really picking a home inspector or timelines or whatever it is. Like, because I have an app that I use for my videos, I'll see people watch that video at 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, they're stressed out about it, but they want to hear what Jamie had said about the inspection process, or they want to hear something like that. So as far as agents and including video and processes and things, maybe 2026 is the year where you evaluate how comfortable your clients are through the entire process of the experience all together. Because I think when we can increase that comfort and we can increase that good feeling that we had through the whole transaction of working with Jamie or working with Russ.
It's a rooted process. It's a rooted experience for them.
Yeah. And it's replicatable, which I like too. Because our business is such, like, you might have a great experience with Jamie or Russ when we're not as busy. But if we got 10 under contract, is there a drop off when you're busy?
And what would they say is good markets breed bad habits, right? So how do you keep those good habits when you're extremely busy? It's slowing down, right? Like, I mean, if you're busy and you have an 11 o'clock appointment, but you also have a 1:30 appointment that takes you 30 minutes to get there, that 11 o'clock appointment shouldn't feel rushed. But it's easy when you're busy, you're just kind of running. So you got to just slow down and remember that each one counts, each one matters.
And I feel like people are also attracted to agents who are busy. Sure. But that's the initial attraction, because they want Russ because he's in the top 100 of Baton Rouge or whatever. Yeah. They want the success. They want that success for themselves. But when it comes down to it, they want all of you. Yeah, they want all of you. So it's like, how do you lay that out in the sense of slowing it down, giving them that kind of process and that experience that's high quality? And I think using video in it is a great strategy as well.
Sure. And leverage, right? I mean, I have a transaction coordinator that helps me from start to finish. Without that, I mean, my clients wouldn't get all of me. So, I mean, knowing what to leverage, I mean, the 80-20 principle, right? Find out what your 20%, what you're really good at, leverage everything else out. You know, I think that's really important too.
Yeah. And you talked about the DISC assessment, right? You're putting somebody mm-hmm. in that role that they really get fired up on systems, processes, contracts, all of those things. Whereas, like, I can probably guess you and I are very similar. Like, we get excited about being with people, talking to yep. people. But there are those people yep. that you can hire, like transaction coordinators and whatnot, that they get fired up, not by people. Matter of fact, they don't like hanging out with people at all, but yep. they love processes and systems. And that's where when you can get somebody maybe opposite on the DISC than you mm-hmm. as yep. a realtor and put them in the role of a transaction coordinator, you get those great client experiences throughout the whole process, which I love.
And that's what it is, right? It's all about the client having that experience that they felt like we cared. It's so important.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Russ, man, we blew through almost our whole time right now just yeah. chatting and hanging out, brother. But I always on the podcast ask the same question. I always say, Russ, speak to an agent who is maybe not had the best 2025. We're looking at 2026 and they're saying, man, I really need a fresh start. I really need some encouragement right now in my business to start my year off right. What would you tell that discouraged agent, man, to give them a spark and a great start in 2026, man, and then we'll close it out?
Good question. I would just say it really just comes down, like, just go to the basics. Pick up your phone. If you're scared to, you know, make a phone call, drink a cup of coffee, get some energy and make it fun. I mean, this is supposed to be enjoyable. And I think you just got to find what you enjoy doing when it comes to making contacts and just do that at a high level. It doesn't have to be the 9 to 11 that I focus on. If you like to, you know, be around a lot of people, create some type of event, you know, do something, think outside the box, but don't feel stuck in a box that successful people are doing, you know, when it comes to like the 9 to 11. Find somebody. There's a lot of successful people out there. Success leaves clues, right? Find somebody that does business that you would like to do and kind of just try to mirror that image. 2026, I believe, is going to be a really strong year for real estate and a lot of opportunity will be presented. You just have to be ready.
100%, brother. Absolutely. Totally agree with you, man. Get around some people that are doing some big things in the real estate business and listen to podcasts like these, right? You're going to get ideas from Russ and you're going to hear about how he structures his day and say, you know what, man, I need to do that. Or you might hear an idea that Jamie said about incorporating video in yeah. your processes and your systems. And then that becomes a goal to say, hey, let me level up the whole client experience. And then that gives you a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more, and you continue to grow. And we talked about it earlier too, man, consistency, but don't just do one thing and expect to change the world. Do one small thing consistently over and over and over again and watch it compound on itself, man. So I love what you're doing. I love the way that you're building your business. I do feel like it is, to me, one of the best ways to build a real estate business right now in 2026, even with all of the technology and all of the video things and all of the Instagrams and the TikToks and the Facebooks and all the big things, man, doing it the way that you're doing it, truly caring about people, selling them a home and then keeping up with them for the rest of their life, man, that's the way you sell real estate, man. I appreciate you doing it that way and hugely respect what you're doing. And I'm doing it a very similar way. So thank you so much for sharing your processes and things with us on the podcast.
Yes, I appreciate you, Jamie.
Absolutely, guys. Well, look, we're going to put some of Russ's contact information over in the details of this podcast, man. I hope that you guys go follow him on social media, man. Reach out. I'm sure he'd be happy to answer any questions that you guys might have about his processes and different things that he's working on, man. And I hope that you guys send this episode, man, to a friend, somebody that's looking for some encouragement in 2026, man. Give us a 5-star review. We also launch a brand new audio version of this podcast every Monday morning at 5 a.m. And I'd love for you guys to continue to support the podcast. And it means the world to us that we can be in your ears every week. So guys, really, really appreciate you guys tuning into the pod. And I hope that you guys have an amazing day.